Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703 036-3659, 0808-5150-610. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
Shall we pray together? Our Father and our God, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor. Even for your loving kindness towards us in making your word available to us. As we look into your word today, we ask that you grant each of us revelation. Grant us understanding. Grant us an experience of your very self. Lord, even in spiritual warfare, grant unto us that we might live overcomers. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers, for we have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank God for this opportunity to be with you once again on this program, Living Seed. For several weeks, we have continued to share with you on the issues of spiritual warfare. We had looked at the portrait of the enemy. We had considered the strategies that the devil uses most of the time. We've not been able to exhaust all his strategies, just like I mentioned to you when we started. But we feel that which God has helped us to share will be enough to initiate you into warfare and unto carefulness, even as you walk on in your Christian race. Today we are going to link up with our study on the life of Naboth last week as an illustration of the strategies of the enemy, and then look at what is the weapon of our warfare. What must we do first of all as our own warfare? What is the provision of God for us to fight this battle? We are going to be looking at Naboth as a case study yet, and we are going to be illustrating principles of our own weapons. I'm trusting that God will grant us a clarity even as we go on today in the name of Jesus Christ. I would like you to begin by turning your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Now I'd like to read from verse 10. This time we will read it quickly to verse 14. I know as the Lord leads us further, we shall come back on that scripture to analyze each of the portions or segments of our armor. The Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." May God bless His word to our hearts in Jesus' name. Now, one thing that is clear to us as we are beginning to look at what is the preparation of the believer in spiritual warfare, what is our own armor, or do we just go there empty-chested and continue to struggle with the devil on the energy of the flesh? No. The Bible says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, the first weapon of our warfare, as we had mentioned earlier on, and again in this series of studies, is the Lord himself. The Lord himself is our banner. The Lord himself is our refuge. The Lord himself, the secret pavilion of the Most High God himself, his dwelling place, his secret place, is our first place of ammunition. And I would like to say, before we put in other things, I look at all those other things as additions. They look like appendages unto this core matter. The core matter in our fighting the devil is the Lord himself. If you look at Psalm 60 and verse 12, it says, through our God we shall do valiantly. For by him we will push down our enemies. Through him we have even run through a troop. We have run through a wall. Now, the weapon, our very weapon, I would like to say, is the Lord himself. The Lord himself is our shield. The Lord himself is our banner. The Lord himself is our buckler. The Lord himself is our rampart. Now, I would like you to look at, I want you to just check Psalm 91 again. We referred to Psalm 91 some time ago. I'd like you to check it once again as we are introducing you to the weapons of our warfare. Now, Psalm 91. I'd like you to read it from New International Version if you have it. I'll read it from here. Psalm 91. New International Version. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely, he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. Your shield and your rampart. Now, that's what I want you to note here. I want you to see that the Most High God himself is a shelter. The Lord himself, the Almighty himself, is a rest where we can stay. He is our refuge, is our fortress. The Bible says his own faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. If you understand what we call rampart, that's a very big, very thick wall built where men can hide their lives, and it will be very, very difficult for any enemy to penetrate. The Lord himself is our first weapon. And I would like to say that if you have no root in the Lord Jesus, if you have no basic relationship with the Lord Jesus, you don't have any weapon for this warfare. Whatever calculations you have in your head, they cannot save you in the day of battle. Now, look at Psalm 91 in Moffat translation. I just read some few verses there. Happy the man who stays by the Most High in shelter, who lives under the shadow of the Almighty God, who calls the Eternal my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He saves you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pit. He protects you with his pinions and hides you underneath his wings. You need not fear the terrors of the night, nor arrows flying in the day. You need not fear plagues stalking in the dark, nor sudden death at noon. Hundreds may fall beside you, thousands at your right hand, but the plague will never reach you, safe shielded by his faithfulness. Hallelujah. You have only to look on and see how evil men are punished, but you have sheltered beside the Eternal and made the Most High God your home. Now, that is the first weapon. As far as I am concerned, that is the basic weapon. And as far as I know, that is the most effective weapon, the Lord himself. I wouldn't be giving you formulas. If there's anything I can give you, I want to give you Jesus. I want to give you the Lord. He's the refuge. He's our banner. He's our shield. He's our peace. He's our righteousness.
He's our provider. He is our God. He's our El Shaddai, our sufficiency. He is our all in all. And is enough for every need of your life, both now and in eternity. So now look at what Ephesians chapter 6 now says. Say, finally, my brethren, after all said and done, after everything, every admonition, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If you are going to stand at all in spiritual warfare, we want to say there's only one place to stand and be victorious, and that place is in God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says your life is hid in Christ in God. Now, I would like to say to you, the first weapon and the most necessary weapon is the Lord himself. Have you found the Lord? Is your life in the Lord Jesus? Are you dwelling under the secret pavilion of the Most High? Are you dwelling under the pinions of his power? Are you dwelling in the shadow of the Almighty? If you check Psalm 27, now, we are going to soon refer you to Psalm 27. You will again see what David had to say. Because he had come to relate with God in such a very definite manner. Psalm 27. Now, look at Psalm 27. The Lord is my light. That's verse 1. And my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat all my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Now that's what we are saying. Now so, you can now see the timely injunction in Ephesians chapter 6. As the first weapon, as the most necessary weapon, he said, my brethren, finally, be strong in the Lord. Be strong, be steadfast, be established in the Lord, in the Lord. Now, there's no big talk about this. In spiritual warfare, if God is not your refuge, if the Lord is not your dwelling place, you have failed already. So why we go on? Why we talk about the devil? I told you one of his strategy. He knows as long as you are in God, he can do you nothing. As long as you are under the arm of the Almighty, no arm can come to you. As long as you dwell under the confines of the blood, the confines of the word of God, and you do not break out to go and see the daughters of the land, you are saved. So we say once again to you, in earnest, in order to fight the spiritual warfare, rising against you, be strong in the Lord. Be fully and firmly established in the Lord. That's what the word of God is saying here. Be strong in the Lord. Put your strength, let your strength come from the Lord's mighty power from within you. Be strong in the Lord, not in yourselves, not in your wisdom, not in your ability, not in your own power, but in the Lord. Finally, grow strong in the Lord with the strength of his power. Be strong, build up your strength in union with the Lord and by means of his mighty power. Find your strength in the Lord in his mighty power. I am trusting that God will help you to catch that as we go on. But apart from that, if you have got your root in the Lord, and how will you get strong in the Lord? By constantly praying and being in communion, in close fellowship with him. By studying the word of God, getting to know the mind of God, getting to know the will of God, getting to know the purposes of God for your life, getting to learn the wisdom of God from scriptures. The scripture is able to make you wise unto salvation. You need to sit down with it. You need to study it. You need to pray it. You need to swallow it into your life. And then you need to be in the body of Christ. You need to stay in the body of Christ. That's where you will grow in the Lord. You can't be a lone ranger. You can't stand out there and say you are alone. No, you need to fellowship with brethren, with people that believe in the word of God, people that study and they are serious, they are going to heaven. You must flock together with them as much as they are going towards the kingdom. And if any man is going on the other side, you can break off from him and continue your journey, because our eternity is not a place to joke with. I'm trusting God to grant you understanding. But now let's go on. Now say, put on the old armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You will begin to notice something from verse 11 here, that the word of God is saying that there is the armor of God that we must put on, the old armor. One other scripture says we should put on Jesus. It looks to me as if Jesus is the embodiment of this armor that we are talking about. Even though as weeks come by, God will grant us grace to study some of the components of the armor and what they deal with in spiritual warfare as the Lord enables us. But I want to say on a general note this moment that the Bible said that you may be able to stand. In spiritual warfare, God expects you to do what? To stand. God is not expecting you to run. God is not expecting you to turn your back. God is not expecting you to bow down. God is not expecting you to kneel down. You don't kneel down to the devil. You don't bow down to the devil. You don't run from the devil. The Bible says you do what? Stand up against the devil. He will turn and run from you. He said to stand. To stand. Now if you look at verse 13, he said, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. No matter what the devil is doing, no matter the arrangements around you, the purpose of God and the counsel of the Holy Spirit is that you should withstand. You should stand there. And having done all, after you have done everything, after all the battles are come and gone, the Bible says you should still do what? To stand. It says to stand. And if you look at verse 14, it says stand therefore. So between verse 11 and verse 14, you discover something. In verse 11, you see stand against the wiles of the devil. In verse 13, it said, stand, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand, that is the third stand. And in verse 14, it says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the belt of truth, to stand. Now, let's see what we are saying. The weapon, one of the things we saw the devil do, is that he loves to intimidate. He loves to make you feel inferior. He loves to attack you and make you feel less than what God has made you. But then the counsel of the Lord is that you should stand. Now, let's see something in Revelation chapter 12 very briefly before I refer you back to Naboth in 1 Kings, as I promised that we are going to come back on that scripture today. Revelation and chapter 12. Revelations chapter 12, and we look at verse 11. Revelations 12:11. We have referred to this before, but we need to look at it more closely today. The Bible said in verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Now we find that the devil, as an accuser, he loves you to bow down. If he cannot push you down, he wants to come within you and create doubt in your heart. He wants to create a kind of guilt that you may no longer be bold in approaching God. And so the Bible said, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They didn't keep quiet. One thing the devil does is that he speaks a lot to discomfit you. He speaks a lot to get you off your ground. But then you must speak. You must also stand there. Now let's return to Naboth. 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings chapter 21. Last week we were looking at the proposal of the devil and the strategy of the devil to turn our vineyard into a garden of vegetables. What the devil was looking for? To make us very weak Christians, weaklings who cannot lift up a finger against an attack. And the Bible said, And Ahaz spoke unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to you, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Now, but look at what Naboth did in verse 3. And Naboth said to Ahab. Now, one of the weapons of our warfare, apart from being strong in the Lord, standing in the Lord, is that we need to stand right there, face to face with the devil. And we need to learn how to speak straight unto him. We don't pray to the devil. Several of you, you keep praying to the devil. No, you don't need to pray for the devil. You don't need to beg the devil. When we were looking at the portrait of the devil, one of the things we saw is that no matter how you beg him, he never has compassion. And he can never open the doors of his prisoners. The devil, he has no tears of sympathy in his eyes. No, no. When you are sorrowful, that's when he's having the greatest of his excitement. When your life is getting scattered, that's when he's very, very happy. He rejoices in destroying you. So the word of God didn't ask us to pray to him. But look at what the word of God is saying. He said we should stand. And if you look at what Jesus said in Mark chapter 11 verse 23 and 24, he said, which of you shall say unto this mountain? He didn't say we should pray to mountains, but we should say to it. Every obstacle on your way, you need to learn how to address it. And that's what I saw Brother Naboth do here. The Bible said, and Naboth said to Ahab, you must learn to speak to the devil. When the devil speaks to you, talk back to him. When the devil brought a thought into your heart, return it back to him almost with the same frequency. The angle at which the devil is trying to attack you, in the same angle, you must return it back. Not 2 days after, not 3 days after. Because if you allow the fiery darts of the devil into your heart, before you return it back to him, back to sender, you know what is going to happen? It will conceive and it will produce. It will create an effect. Now look at what Naboth said. And Naboth said to her, the Lord forbid me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto you. The Lord forbid me. Now, and you must know how to speak the words of their testimony. The devil loves to have Christians who are afraid. The devil loves to have Christians who don't know how to speak, who do not know how to exercise and exert their own authority, who does not know how to declare and confess what the Lord has done in their lives. The Bible said, and Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto you. I cannot do it. I cannot do it. Let me tell you what happened in verse 4. And Ahab came into his house, sorrowful, displeased, because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite has spoken to him. You can see. Just as the devil loved to fight battles with words, he loves to send darts of words, words of doubt, words of fear into your heart. Just like the Bible says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So fear comes by hearing and hearing the words of the devil. There's no way fear comes except you hear wrong reports, bad reports, fearful reports. That's how fear also comes. And see what the word of God does. When Naboth spoke unto Ahab, Ahab came into his house confused. The Bible said he came swollen. He came heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite has spoken to him. I see a secret here. The devil, he is afraid of a correct word spoken by a child of God. You will remember even the battle of David and Goliath. One of the things Goliath did to subdue the children of Israel for 42 days, 6 solid weeks, was the words he was talking, empty boast. Say, any of you that can come here, I will offer you unto the birds of the air. But if you read 1 Samuel chapter 17 very well, you will discover that David didn't keep quiet. David didn't just listen to the words of the devil and went and sat down. David returned it back. He said, the Lord will give you to me today. and the birds of the air, they will rejoice. They will have a feast and they will give a praise unto God, for I will hand you over to them. God is going to give you to my hands. That's how to deal with the devil. You don't keep quiet in spiritual warfare. You don't let the devil speak only and go without a reply. You don't say, okay, we pray about it. You don't say, we meditate about it. You don't meditate on what the devil says. No! If you meditate on what the devil says, you will fall down. Because they are his own seed. What do you need to do? Send back the word. Let your word also be the sword of the spirit that will pierce the devil. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto you. And Ahab went back to his house heavy, displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. And he lay down on his bed and turned away his face and will eat no food. I am praying that God will raise Christians who will send the devil back to hell. That the devil will for once go and lie down on his bed and refuse to rejoice and refuse to eat. And when all his cohorts, his messengers, principalities, when they come, they say, oh, Gaza, what is the problem? So, oh, you see, it is what that brother said. It is what that girl said. It is the confession of the mouth of that young man. The way he spoke to me, he just told me the story of my life. I'm praying that God will raise Christians who know how to speak properly. I'm not just talking of talking positive confession and being psychological. I'm talking about the true confession of our faith. I'm talking about the reality of what Jesus has done for us. The word of God. When the devil came to Jesus, he conquered him by the word of God. He didn't go on talking stories and beginning to reason with him. He said, it is written. One weapon that God has placed in our lives as we stand against the wiles of the devil is the words of our mouth, the words of our confession, the words of our testimony, the scriptures that the word of God gave us that we need to bring back to bear on the authority of hell, and they must return back. Now, while I leave you here, do you only keep quiet for the devil to pump his ideas onto your heart? Won't you stand up, study the word of God properly, look at the truth, check the inheritance you have, return back the word back to the devil in his own coin. I'm believing you, and I'm believing God on your behalf, that the Bible says, stand. Stand, therefore. You are not supposed to run. You are supposed to stand. Stand up against the devil, and he will turn and run. May God help you as you take these decisions today in Jesus' name.